Macmillan Audio presents My Glorious Defeats, Activist, Narcissist, Anonymous, a Memoir, by Barrett Brown. Read for you by Barrett Brown. In memory of Michael Hastings. In a rare moment of self-pity, Lennon wrote to Inessa Armand in 1916, quote, "Since 1893 on, one struggle after another, against political stupidity, vileness, and so on," unquote. He did not reflect that most of those struggles were of his own making and that he enjoyed them. Adam B. Ulam, The Bolsheviks. Part 1. Hubris. Chapter 1. Microverse. Summer 2014. The old brick building to which we were being led had served as an internment center for German nationals during World War II. Now it mostly held Americans. I wondered briefly whether I should write this down the next time I managed to get hold of a pencil. There were 8 of us being escorted across the compound of Federal Correctional Institution Siegelville, which had been put on lockdown as a result of our actions. Prison inmates, confined to whatever building they'd happened to be in when the incident began, stared at us through the windows. I'd never seen the yard before, having spent the preceding months in the prison's jail unit, along with others who were awaiting trial or sentencing or transfer. Our own building had been modern, purpose-built for incarceration, and we never really saw it from the outside. Out here, on the other side of the tall barbed wire fence that bisected the compound and divided the jail from the prison proper, the whole place had the look of a college campus. Albeit a third-rate college in a second-tier state, never producing any really successful graduates who might be inclined to write an endowment check. When we arrived at the brick metaphor for American decline, situated at the other end of the yard from the jail unit that had lately made up my universe, we were taken through the main door and then down a stairwell to the receiving area, where we were divided into pairs. As our turn came, 2 of us were placed in one of the holding cells at the foot of the stairs. The cell gate was locked behind us, and my companion and I took turns backing up to the bars so that the guards could remove our handcuffs through a little rectangular gap. "What's got you so mad, white boy?" an intake guard asked me. I declined to respond. I wasn't mad anymore. The regret had already begun to set in. Also, the guard himself was white, which I found confusing. We stripped and threw out our jail uniforms. In exchange, we were handed bright yellow spandex pants, flimsy boxer shorts, white t-shirts, and blue slip-on shoes, and then left to wait. The corridor was made of concrete. All the light came from naked bulbs. There was a light switch in the cell, and I turned it on. "Leave it dark," drawled my companion. "That bulb's gonna make it hotter." "We're gonna have to get used to that," I retorted. "Oh, that's right." He said this with great cheerfulness, and I liked him for it. I'd barely known him back in the unit, where we'd played chess a couple of times. Now we would be living together for 23 to 24 hours a day in a small concrete room for at least a month or two over the course of a Texas summer, with no air conditioning and little to occupy our time. He had already accepted this. I hadn't. The adrenaline rush I always get from confrontations with unjust authority had played itself out, and now I regretted the loss of my books, the spacious corner cell I'd shared with the old Vietnam vet, my phone calls, my little radio. I'd been held in the special housing unit once before, upon arriving at another prison, but only for a few days while I waited for space to open up in the jail unit. That time, I'd been able to bring books into the hole, along with paper and pens. Now I had nothing. And so I went over the events of the last few hours, wondering if it had been worth it, and deciding that it hadn't. Nothing had really been accomplished by what we'd done. The elderly man we'd been trying to defend had been brought to the shoe along with us, which was the very outcome we'd set out to prevent. Probably he'd be in more trouble now, and I wouldn't have any coffee for days and days and days. My new friend and I were cuffed back up and taken to a cell about halfway down the corridor. The door was already open. We walked in. The door was closed and locked. We backed up against it to be uncuffed through the rectangular slot located at hip level, which was then closed and locked from the outside. We dropped our blankets on our mattresses and appraised our quarters. The bulk of it was taken up by the bunk bed, a stainless steel sink and toilet unit.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?